When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. With us today, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Brother Nichols, have you ever, ever thought that you would see a president of the United States so blatantly throw the United States employees and intelligence agencies under the bus on the world stage while praising a dictator?
Well, I found it fascinating yesterday when the president appeared with Vladimir Putin that the president didn't make a mistake. And that's an important thing to understand here. I have seen presidents in domestic and international settings where they made mistakes or where they said things that were misinterpreted. But what Donald Trump did yesterday was absolutely fascinating because of one key line, and I think it's the one everybody's hooked into, and that is where he said, yeah, my intelligence people or my advisors, my counselors, however you refer to them, you know, they've told me that they're concerned about this. They've expressed their concerns. But I just talked to this guy, you know, the former KGB guy next to me. He says, don't believe any of it. So I think we're fine. And you're sort of like, really? I mean, even if you were going to say, look, there's a lot of controversy about this, and I've heard from our people at home. I've just met with President Putin, and he has said this, and, you know, I'm really going to take this information back, and we're going to sit down and wrestle through what people at home are saying and what he's saying. He could have given Putin what I would have thought was an incredibly inordinate amount of respect, but instead, he chose specifically on the international stage, one of the most watched moments in, you know, recent diplomatic
stunning
to throw his own people under the bus.
Here's a little bit of the coverage from NBC.
President and a Russian leader. They're meeting framed by Friday's Justice Department indictment of 12 Russian agents for election meddling and the judgment of U.S. intelligence agencies, including Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, that Russia interfered. President Trump asked, who do you believe, President Putin or the U.S. intelligence community? His answer?
People came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
And the president complimenting an offer from Putin. Instead of turning over the indicted Russian agents, Russian officials would question the agents themselves, with special counsel Bob Mueller present.
I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer.
You know, people actually saw the ground move at the Reagan Library and burials.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I like the line, President Putin was incredibly strong and powerful. Yeah, I think he's really, I think what you're seeing is strength and power is just somebody who's really good at lying. You know, it's like, yes, I enthusiastically tell you it did not happen. But that doesn't make it more true than what Dan Coats, who I will admit may not be the best communicator,
Well, he was pretty clear.
He was
pretty clear at the Hudson Institute on Friday, and I'm pretty sure there's a reason that he's publicly stated that.
Dan Coats is pretty clear in the statement he released
after right? You know, let me just tell you a little story about Dan Coats. I mean, he was not a remarkable senator. He became a lobbyist and then came back. He had a very conservative record in the Senate, not a particularly distinguished senator. But one time I was outside the Capitol and I saw him come down the steps, and he was all by himself. And there was a band practicing, like a marching band practicing, and they were playing the national anthem. And I think they were just practicing. Nobody was watching him except me, and I don't think he even saw me. I was sitting in a car. It's back in the days when you could drive up to the Capitol. He saw that man playing the national anthem. He turned around and he put his hand over his heart, and he stood through the entire song. When frankly he could have been well on his way. The guy's a patriot. Okay.
That's a good story there, Sly.
What's that?
That's a good story.
It is.
Yeah, that's a very powerful, and I think it goes to the heart of the matter. You can disagree with Dan Coats on a whole bunch of issues, and I have over the years, you can even question some element of intelligence or some interpretation, right, of what interference is or how it occurred. But clearly, the president's key player on these issues, the guy who's supposed to gather this all together, not as a general but as a political figure, and really assess, you know, what we ought to think about it, how we ought to deal with it, has sent repeated warnings, alarms, you know, signals to the president that this is a serious issue. He talked about this back, you know, at the start of 2018. This is not something new that he's on. And for the president to, by name, throw him under the bus, right, is a very, very unpresidential and, frankly, inept move. Even if Trump was trying to develop out a relationship with the Russians, it is very deferent to the Russians, right? Even if he really was bending to Putin's will, doing it this way was so jarring, so shocking, that I think it sent up alarm bells everywhere. I think it's one of the reasons why the former head of the CIA, John Brennan, used the word treasonous. And whatever people would think about this thing, here's the worst thing that Donald Trump did yesterday. And it wasn't just in all this context, because, again, people can debate about the specifics. People can even debate whether they think Trump is playing some kind of long game, you know, whether he's, you know, whether there's more going on here than what you see. They can defend Trump and say, you know, you don't know what he said in the meeting, blah, blah, blah.
I'm frightened to think of what he said in the meeting.
I know. But you can make all the positive arguments for the president that you like, all right? Go ahead. Here's what the president did, I think, out of extreme, scorching, historical and contemporary ignorance. He took the embattled leader of a dramatically weakened country, that's Vladimir Putin in Russia, and he treated him with the same regard he would the leader of the democratic elected leader of a immensely powerful country. And that's the contemporary. It's just, you know, he raised Putin's stature simply by appearing in that way and doing things that way. But secondly, and most importantly, he seemed to do so thinking it was 1985 or 1988. And all these comparisons to Reagan are, of course, absurd, because when Reagan began to meet seriously with Gorbachev and talk to him in Iceland and other places, those discussions were with a reforming leader of a major superpower, right? Dramatically larger, dramatically more powerful. You understand the disconnect here. Trump is operating based on several fantasies, but the problem is that by doing meetings like this and being so deferent to Putin, he is doing more to strengthen Putin than Putin himself could do.
Well, and of course, this hell has to be watched through the lens, and the Donald Trump right now is a target of a probe,
yeah.
That leads us to believe that if he himself wasn't complicit, his campaign was, taking help from the Russians to win an election. I mean, this all has to be looked through that lens, because it's the elephant in the room, that's for sure.
It is the elephant in the room, but one thing to keep in mind here, even if all that was, you know, accepting that all that's playing out, it's not wrong for the President of the United States, no matter how much controversial, you know, how much trouble is swirling around him, to have diplomatic discussions with the leader of the other great nuclear power, other major nuclear power in the world, right? Those discussions should go on. They should be had. It's just that if you're doing that, you ought to do it in a room with, you know, a bunch of people.
Right.
You have advisors with you.
Okay.
And you also ought to, if there was ever a time, Sly, where you measure your language, right, where you're careful with what you say, this would be it.
Here's John Meacham this morning on MSNBC as we record this program on Tuesday morning.
My chief fear is that this is the middle of the journey, not the beginning and not the end, because Vladimir Putin has a huge check in his pocket ready to cash from Donald Trump. And I don't think it's simply going to be cashed for a congenial press conference. I think there must be some other shoe to drop, to use that image. There must be some other country to invade. There may be some other attempt here by the Russians to expand their influence at the expense of the West, at the expense of the Western alliance. And we have seen over the last, not just the last 24 hours, but the last 6-7 days, that the President of the United States does not have the interests, historic interests, of the Western alliance and of the United States front and center.
Well, there you go.
That's a pretty blunt statement coming from a very centrist,
cautious person.
Cautious centrist, and might I note, someone who's very close to the Bushes. You know, I mean, that what's important to understand here is that there are still a handful of people. It's getting very small. A handful of people that are defending Donald Trump. In defending Donald Trump at this point, they are not merely separating themselves from the president's Democratic critics. They're separating themselves from every former Republican president and from the important major players around those former presidents. So we have in Donald Trump somebody who is isolating himself from a huge portion of the political discourse. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be some people who are enthusiastic Trump backers, who cheer him on, who say he's always right or whatever. But that's just, you know, spin. That's just talk. Whereas when you're dealing with nuclear powers, when you're dealing with global relations on this level, it's about a lot more than spin and talk. And the thing that, if I just pivot into one key thing here, you brought up the indictments and the election issues that have arisen. It is stunning to me that we have all this criticism of the president for what he said, all of it appropriate, I think, or overwhelmingly appropriate, and yet we do not have affirmative action on the part of members of Congress. This includes several Democratic leaders who have been very weak on this, and virtually the entire Republican leadership, including people who criticized Trump yesterday, to secure the 2018 and 2020 elections. Because as Dan Coats and others have said, and as Ryan has said, this isn't history we're talking about. This is something continuous. This is something ongoing. And I think the president's approach to this, but also the approach of many of his critics, is to make it less urgent than it should be. This should be an urgent concern of all Americans.
You know, after Ron Johnson's performance going to Russia and then saying that he really didn't think it was a big deal, essentially, I'm paraphrasing there, but that was sort of the sentiment out of it all. Why don't Democrats in Wisconsin, after this election, start talking about recalling him?
Well,
he is failing his number one job as a United States Senator.
Well, especially considering the committee he's in charge.
Right.
Yeah. No, whether recall's the answer, and I'm a little cautious about it because of two things. Number one, there's some debate about the recall of how it applies to U.S. senators, as you may remember from some history there. But and secondly, because you know, this is, we will see where this issue gets to and where things end up. I think Johnson could remain a bad player, as he certainly has been up to this point. He could become a minor player in the relatively short term. Frankly, even potentially on the right side of things, depending on where this all plays out. Because one thing is not to defend Ron Johnson, but it is to say that one thing that I think is going to develop very quickly from this session. You know, we're so used to things going away with Donald Trump. You know, to him doing something absurd, something outrageous, and then in a week or so, it's all forgotten. Remember, last week started with a Supreme Court nomination. If I can.
Right. Let's hold the thought. Yeah. Hang on to that thought. Let's just take a quick break. SliceOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SliceOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SliceOffice.com.
We're back at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local sponsors like Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters Local 311, and Madison Teamsters Local 695. John Nichols from the Capital Times with us. All right, you were about to say, normally things go away with Trump, but...
Yeah, I'm not so sure this one will, because, A, in the run-up of it, the statements and the actions that you saw, the indictments of the 12 Russians, but then also some more recent inquiries and announcements regarding it, as well as what Coates has said, as well as what a lot of other key players have said. I think there is genuine fear now on the part of a lot of, frankly, very powerful players in elected office and obviously others who are investigating the wrongdoing. And my sense is that fear, not anger with Donald Trump, not opposition to Donald Trump because you disagree with him on an issue, but that genuine fear that this guy could use his office to do things that would have overwhelming long-term consequences for the United States will make it hard for this to go away. I think we are at something of a pivot point, because all of the talk about Trump having a bizarre relationship with Putin, having a bizarre attitude toward Russia, now that has been realized, and I think we're in a very different place here. And again, admittedly, other issues will arise. This may not be the central issue in every day's discussion, but my sense is it's going to hover over a lot of thinking about Donald Trump, and it might even cause a couple of Republicans in key positions to grow backbones. I know that's a very romantic.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Kevin Nicholson and Leah Vukmir handle this whole
thing,
right?
Yeah, wouldn't it be interesting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Vukmir has clearly decided that she's going to be, you know, the all-in Trumpkin, you know, and she has had some just bizarre, like way off the deep end statements. She's clearly the more fringe candidate between the two of them. But Nicholson, you know, he has space in which to actually, and background, in which to actually come out as a, you know, a national security Republican in this. And you know, it could matter for him.
Although if you look at where their strength comes from, they're calling this the Battle of the North versus the South. Obviously, her base is in the suburbs of Milwaukee, and his base is up north. It'll be, you know, which means he has more Trump supporters, people that are hardcore Trump supporters in his coalition than she does.
Yeah, but I want to emphasize to you, I don't think that's how it plays. I don't think a hardcore Trump supporter in northern Wisconsin is particularly you know, waking up every morning thinking about how we relate to Putin.
Well, that's probably true.
I think that hardcore Trump supporters, to the extent that they exist, and remember, there's a lot of evidence that that's fading in a lot of places. I mean, some of the new information out of Iowa, which is, you know, if you look at polling in Iowa, that can often tell you a lot about western Wisconsin and even somewhat in, you know, northwest Wisconsin. Boy, the information, there's an awful lot of evidence that the Trump charm is beginning to disappear in a lot of people's eyes. But to the extent that people still are, you know, hardcore Trump backers, you know, my sense is that, you know, they're driven by economic concerns. They're driven by concerns about a host of domestic issues.
Well, it's good the Democrats have a strong economic message then.
Well, there you go. But this isn't about, remember, as regards the Nicholson-Buettner race, which is dramatically undercovered, in my opinion, by Wisconsin media and, frankly, national media, that's not about Democrats.
It is
Democrats
not.
Are all going to be voting over in their gubernatorial.
No, and the only Democrats involved were Kevin Nicholson's parents, and they're supporting Tammy
and they're
Baldwin.
They're all for Tammy Baldwin.
Here is Laura, hopefully I have the right clip here. Here's Laura Ingraham from last night.
I can also say this. Trump clearly should not have created any semblance of moral equivalency between our intel community, even if it has its flaws, which it does, and the assurances of Vladimir Putin. As the recent indictment of Russian agents alleged, there was meddling in the election. Bipartisan members of congressional panels concluded that. So did our Director of National Intelligence. But it also, no sense that it affected the outcome of the 2016 election, and no Americans were named in last week's indictment. So President Trump probably should have said it that way, or said that, or addressed it that way. Instead, he kind of committed an unforced error. But look, the president is right at the same time to be frustrated by the anvil that the deep state has hung around his neck for 2 years now. First, the elements within the FBI, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And now, Mueller and his ever-expanding team. And we know inside the DOJ, they basically protected Hillary Clinton while attempting to dam and undermine the legitimacy of Trump's election. And this gnaws at the president. And it perhaps explains why he let those wounds get the better of him today. But it is a good thing to improve our relationship with Russia. And at the same time, we cannot appear to buy their obvious deception while we're standing on the world stage. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of while at the same times, but this is a complicated thing. And I think while insulting Putin on camera, like doing that, like Donald Trump versus Vladimir Putin in a total insult fest, that wouldn't have accomplished anything.
I love the fact that she admits that insulting people doesn't accomplish anything. So we know the president's been consistent on that, right, John?
Well, so is Laura Ingraham. she's evolving. But
is she still going after high school kids?
I think she backed off on that because it almost wrecked her career.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a very interesting thing there because she's a smart woman and actually one of the smartest of the bunch. And she acknowledged, you know, right in the midst of it. She says, I know I'm doing a well, but, or if then. You
she
know.
Was struggling.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why she was struggling. If you were to boil down that entire statement, every word that was said there, it is, I'm really trying to help this president, but he's making it hard. You know, that's what basically she was saying. And if you look at what Newt Gingrich, who's a very parallel kind of figure politically, what Newt Gingrich said, worst mistake of Trump's presidency or worst mistake of his career, something like that. You know, very damning statement. I think that a lot of, and this is what I mean about this being something of a pivot point, I think a lot of Republicans who really want Trump to succeed for often very personal reasons are deeply concerned about what has happened here. And I think they see the potential for parity, and I say that not casually, but very seriously. One of the worst things that happen to any president of the United States is when they become a joke, right? Now, I know all the big issues that are involved here and the real threats, the serious concerns, but, you know, to the extent that Donald Trump is simply portrayed as a toady, to Vladimir Putin, you know, somebody who, you know, this very sly, very sharp, very edgy global figure with the sort of doofus Donald Trump, you know, dancing around. That's damning.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, one of the things that Donald Trump has always tried to exude is strength. He didn't look strong yesterday.
No, he looked ridiculous. It looked, and that line of, you know, which I bet you Trump hadn't even thought about until he said it. And, you know, I think it just one of those things that came out of his mouth where, and you'd have to play the tape to get it exactly, but it's essentially where he says, you know, I have no reason to doubt him, or why wouldn't that be, you know, where he basically...
Yeah, why would I doubt him, right?
Where he totally accepts, you know, what Putin said. Well, I've got a reason why you might doubt him. Because everybody who works for you tells you you should doubt him. You know, I mean, or all the major, your advisors tell you to doubt him. That's a very bad thing. And, you know, this is going to wash over onto other Republican political figures, because anybody that appeared in a picture with an indicted Russian or, you know...
Are you talking about our governor?
Oh, hold it. Was that a good transition slide?
That was a nice transition.
Thank you.
Matt Flynn's already put out a statement about that this morning, blasting Scott Walker.
No, many people are very intrigued by the governor's meeting with this woman who was...
Marina Butina.
Great name, by the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who also all of these NRA guys were just all excited about because, you know...
She was a chick with guns.
You can say it, but, you know, it was... you know, it was...
Of course I can.
Clearly, you know, they didn't mind posing in pictures of her. So I loved what happened with, you know, what she says, for what it's worth, is that the governor of Wisconsin didn't just, you know, pose for a picture with her, which is, by the way, what his people are claiming. Oh, it was in a crowded area, a lot of people coming up to him. Everybody wants to meet Scott Walker. So, you know, of course, many pictures, you know, no connection here. Well, except that she says he came up to her and greeted her in Russian. And then, you know, not only greeted her, but then finished the conversation with another Russian phrase. So I don't know how much you know about Scott Walker, but my experience of the guy is, you know, it's surprising to me when he speaks Russian or any other language.
It's a difficult language to learn.
Well, he's a political. I don't think he learned it, but a couple phrases even. He's a political player. If he committed to memory, if indeed what she says is true, if he committed to memory a couple phrases in Russian to impress her or to impress the people around him, that doesn't mean it's a casual meeting. He was taking this seriously.
He was trying to
make an impression.
There's another chance here that there's another reason he's learning Russian. Maybe we should all learn Russian.
It's a qualification to be president if you ever want to run again.
Let me just
think this washes over on other.
All right, I have to play one more clip, and I just need a short answer from you. This is the vice president.
Between our countries were discussed at length. But what the world saw, what the American people saw, is that President Donald Trump will always put the prosperity and security of America first.
That's Vice President
Mike Pence.
A, no, he won't, obviously. And B, as regards Pence, this is why people always say, oh, I'm afraid if Trump gets impeached, Pence will come to power, and that, you know, he's like this really super genius, capable guy. And
no.
Push all these. Mike Pence is a ridiculous man. And no one should imagine for a second that if for some reason he assumed the presidency at the point where Donald Trump was removed unceremoniously from office, anybody who imagines that's just nuts. Pence is worse than Sarah Huckabee Sanders at peddling the absurd lies of this administration.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.